The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
Now, UN peacekeeping aims to help countries navigate the difficult path from conflict to peace. And here with me now to talk about the challenges that they face along that tumultuous road is Jean-Pierre Lacroix, Under Secretary General for Peace Operations with the UN. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. Good to be with you. Thank you.
First of all, your area of responsibility, in how many countries are UN peacekeepers or peace enforcers actually operating at the moment?
We currently have 13 peacekeeping operations. The biggest one by far are in Africa, but we also have a number of peace operations in the Middle East, including UNIFIL in southern Lebanon, where we have Irish peacekeepers.
How is it decided which conflict that the UN will get involved in? Because there are conflicts all over the globe.
That's right. Well, the UN Security Council creates peace operation, and the council gives us our mandate, and it also extends our mandate. So what it means is that in order for a peace operation to be launched and extended, you have to have an agreement among the members of the Security Council, which means that they have to agree that something has to be done and that the right way to contribute to peace efforts would be by using peacekeepers.
Now what about situations like Yemen?
Well, I mean, this is clearly a situation where
you're badly needed, but you're not there.
I agree. On the other hand, I think it's important to understand that if you send a peacekeeping operation, then there has to be something, there has to be a basis, there has to be a political agreement,
there has to be a peace process of some kind.
A peace that we would help build. In the case of Yemen, there still is belligerence, there still is war. But that doesn't mean that the UN is not doing anything. We are working very hard to promote peace efforts. In these cases, what we need is more unity amongst our member states and more commitment to build
and the permanent peace. Members of the Security Council who can veto anything. I mean, when do you have situations where you would say, I'd love to go in there, I'd love to be able to put in a force to keep the warring sides apart, for example, but you can't because the Security Council won't agree?
I mean, I think we would certainly want to be more helpful in places that badly need peace. As I said, I mean, the first step would be to work towards peace agreements, and that requires a lot of efforts that require a commonality of purpose. And if we don't have that, then we are much less able to make a difference.
So it really needs the members of the Security Council to be at one about the need for the UN to go in.
Absolutely. This is an important requirement. I would say even when we have our peace operation deployed, ultimately we're about supporting peace efforts. And we can bring our contribution to that. But at the same time, we're telling our member states, help us. We're about supporting peace, but you need to help us, with your influence, with your drive, with regional, sub-regional organization. And this is really critical because ultimately we can make a difference, but we cannot bring about peace alone with our peacekeepers.
We talk about the Irish peacekeepers, but sometimes peace enforcement is involved. The idea that you could, cast your arms aside and be nice to people in the locality and be friends with everyone, that sometimes is not always possible, that you've got to carry a big stick as well.
That's right. Well, I think on the one hand, peacekeeping has changed a lot, and in many places it has become more robust. And we call it robust peacekeeping. And why is that so? Because in many places we have much more dangerous environment, and we have armed groups that are going after us and after the population we're protecting. So it requires different mindset, different training, different preparedness. We're working very hard.
In other words, you
this.
Can return fire. To protect yourselves and the populations you're defending.
We can do that because one of the principles of peacekeeping is that you cannot use force unless it's about defending yourself or in defense of a mandate. Now, our mandates are about promoting peace and supporting the implementation of peace agreement, and they're about protecting civilians. Now, if we have armed groups that are in the business of derailing all peace efforts and they're in the business of harassing population, committing gender-based violence and atrocities, I think it's perfectly within our mandate to go after these people. But it requires different capacities. It requires different mindset. I think we've made a lot of effort. I think countries like Ireland are very helpful in that because you have top capacities and fantastic training, fantastic men and women. By the way, the role of women in peacekeeping is fundamental. But we still have a way to go because we know that these challenges are not going away anytime soon.
There have been failures. At the moment, you're accused of failing in the DRC in Congo. And there's a resonance there because that was the first place that Irish peacekeepers went back in the day. The other failures that are constantly quoted are Rwanda and Srebrenica. Yes. I mean, how do you look back on those failures and the current deficit in Congo?
Yeah, well, I think in the case of Srebrenica and Rwanda, there have been many lessons learned. At the time, the peacekeepers, the peace operation were unprepared to face the kind of challenges that they found in...
But they were looking for help from the UN, and that was denied.
But at the time, the concept of robust peacekeeping, the concept of being more proactive in the face of attacks and a very difficult security environment was not there, really. Now, I think our peace operations are changing. There are many places and cases where we make a difference, but unfortunately, there are also cases where we fail, not necessarily all the time just because of our own shortcomings. And we have to be candid about our shortcomings, about preparedness, about training, about situational awareness and all this. And at the same time, and I think in the case in point in the eastern part of the Congo, we also need to have solid partnership with the local authorities and the local armed forces. So what we're going to do based on what's happening recently in that area, which is also affected by Ebola, is we're going to work together with the Congolese authorities. We decided that we would plan joint operation, that we would really take a serious look at what needs to be done. I think it's going to be for a long haul because the armed groups that are operating there are very aggressive. But we're very determined to reverse that situation. Mm.
When it would appear that armed groups might be armed from outside, possibly by other members of the UN, what can you do?
Well, I think we have to see, first of all, it's true that these armed groups are fed mostly by illegal activities, illegal exploitation of resources, human trafficking, drug trafficking. All of this collides with terrorist purposes and activities.
With precious minerals and so on.
All of this.
They have to find a market, and there are countries that will facilitate that market.
You're totally right, Pat. And that is why we have to look at how we handle these security challenges from a broader point of view. Our role as peacekeepers is that we have to be more effective in protecting civilians, that we have to do our best to promote peace efforts. But peacekeeping is a tool, peace operation is a tool, and there has to be other tools as well. We need to address the illegal exploitation of resources. We need to address key drivers of conflict, such as climate change. So there has to be a global approach to crisis.
In the era of ISIS and other groups which hold extreme religious ideologies, they will often celebrate the death of their opponents. Is it harder, even to get peacekeeping forces to go in? Because, if you fall foul of these groups, we know what your fate might be.
No, I think we have very determined and strong and courageous peacekeepers. And at the same time, and they're not, they don't shy away from being proactive against those groups, particularly when it's about protecting civilians. Now, I think it's important to draw the line between peacekeeping, even robust peacekeeping, and counterterrorism. Because peacekeeping is about ultimately supporting peace efforts and protecting civilians. And you can't do this while at the same time being engaged in full-fledged counterterrorist operation. That's why...
Is that not for the UN at all?
It's not for the UN. It's for operations such as AMISOM in Somalia, the G5 Sahel force in the Sahel, which is now picking up and engaging in more operation. It's about other forces, the French Operation Barkhane. There's a division of role there. There's a division of labor. That doesn't mean that we are not complementary to each other. In the Sahel, in Mali, we have different mandates, but ultimately the purpose is the same. It's about working for peace.
Is the blue helmet still respected?
Well, I think there's huge respect and support for the United Nations General and for the Blue Helmet in particular. Now, it is true that when we deploy in places, particularly where communities are extremely vulnerable and traumatized, expectations are very high. So I think we have to be candid. I mean, in some cases, we cannot deliver, even with the best effectiveness and robustness, we cannot fully meet those expectations. I think we have to accept that. That does not exonerate us from making more efforts. But at the same time, it's a reality which we have to live. It has to do partly with the fact that we have relatively limited resources. If you think of a Congo, huge country, 100 million people, size of Western Europe, at the same time, we have a troop and a force that is roughly the size of the New York Police Department.
Okay.
And one-fifth of the budget of the NYPD.
Oof. The Irish Ranger mission is now in Mali on a UN mission. It is said to be the most dangerous mission in the world.
Well, it is an operation that has suffered fatalities. And it's true that Mali is a place where you have a number of terrorist groups that are operating. On the other hand, it's very important to have strong peacekeepers and strong capacities to protect civilians and advance peace there. So I'm very grateful. We're very grateful for the involvement of Ireland. And it's a hugely important situation for the security, not only of Western Africa, but also of Europe. So it's directly of concern.
Do you have to be careful about who you send in terms of their ethnicity, their religion, perhaps, or their perceived religion? I mean, you wouldn't send Sikhs into Afghanistan.
Yeah, we have to be sensitive to that. And we're also telling our peacekeepers, and particularly in the training, you have to be sensitive to the specifics of the culture of the country where you will be deployed. And we're putting a huge emphasis on making sure that they will pay attention to that. Because ultimately, we're about interacting with communities. And we have to be mindful and respectful of their particular culture and sensitivities. That's hugely important.
Do you ever feel that it's a hopeless job?
Well, it's challenging. But I think, you know, the UN is about being involved, trying to make a difference. It's about wherever we have opportunities or space to make a difference, and we have to engage. We cannot afford the luxury of being pessimistic.
On that note, Jean-Pierre Lacroix, Under Secretary General for Peace Operations with the UN, thank you very much for joining us in studio today.